Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name is Chris Heuer, and I'm the founder of Social Media Club. We have 100 plus cities all over the world where we have local groups. I also started something recently called Ad Hocnium, which is an ad hoc consultancy, helping companies deal with growth and innovation using emerging technologies like social media and social web. So today was really talking about the bigger picture relative to what's going on with the Drupal community and some of the issues that are here, and particularly understanding the opportunity that's here relative to some of the growing pains that the Drupal community is going through. And, you know, it's really important to understand what I think is really happening in the broader world as a result of the economic crisis, as a result of the furthering of the network effect, as more and more people are connected to one another through these technologies. Jeff Jarvis talks about this as the great restructuring. It's not the Great Depression, it's not the Great Recession, but the great restructuring, because it's literally, as a result of the social technologies, changing how we relate to each other, how we relate to the institutions we serve, and how we relate to the institutions that serve us. So as a result of all this change, it's a really difficult time right now. And I think that the key is that you have to find your core vision and figure out, you know, who is really in the community. So we talked a lot about some of those challenges and about being more embracing of who is the community for Drupal. And seeing the debate over the last, I guess, week or so that I've been doing more research between the developer-designer issue and even UX, or some people who don't even want user experience people engaged in this discussion, which I don't understand, really made me focus more on the idea of, you know, it takes a village. You know, it's not one person alone. And yes, one person alone can do great things, but to do the greatest good, to create the greatest impact, you have to be a role player. You have to be a part of a team. But, you know, really, you can download the slides from slideshare.net/Chris Heuer, and it'll take you through the whole thing. And you know, also talking a little bit about social media itself. And the core message really for the Drupal community I was trying to focus on is that, you know, the idea of making Drupal a product, while it seemed foreign to some people when Dries presented this yesterday, is really important. But I also don't think it goes far enough. I think that you need to think of Drupal as a solution more than a product, to understand the whole ecosystem around it, to think of the Drupal community as a marketplace as well, because there are people providing services and selling products, and there's hardware and software and time and all sorts of other things that go in it. But there's also this sharing, there's this camaraderie, there's this other bit that goes on. There's the stories that bring us together. And when you look at the broader trends relative to what's happening within the Drupal community, one of the most important things when we start looking at solutions is to understand this great transition that organizations are going through, where today all organizations are really media companies. Their websites aren't just promoting and selling, they're telling stories. You know, I had the example on the site earlier of Leff Beer. And if you go to the Leff Beer site, which is leffe.com, you'll see that they give you recipes. They give you pouring tips on how to pour a perfect beer. They have a flash tutorial to say which beer glass goes with which type of beer. So they've moved much more beyond the buy my product to the ability to inform, educate, and entertain. And these are the roles that media companies traditionally fill. But what happened over time is that the democratization of technology and the decreasing cost of production, like this $300-$400 unit you have in front of you, allowing you to create a radio program, has made it easier for companies and individuals to be the media company. And of course, with zero relative cost for distribution, it's really opened things up, and this is real power, and this is really important. But what it also means is if you understand that the primary customer of Drupal is actually an organization, that organization might be an ad hoc group, it might be a government, it might be a publication, it might be a small business, it might be an ad hoc group of people who care about parachuting, you know, whatever it might be. But it's an organization of people. And if all organizations are media organizations, there's a lot more core needs in being a media organization in a social environment online. And that I think that by focusing on that sort of vision and long-term prospect, that it will ultimately shift even some of the core development issues and a lot of the fringe stuff too, and ultimately make Drupal easier for people to use and understand, and help Drupal community get past what I perceive is a real problem with the perception of Drupal. You know, I actually asked on Twitter yesterday, when I was hearing this, what is Drupal, of the people who are following me on Twitter. And some of the responses are really, really funny. I don't have them in front of me, but you can see them on the slide deck. But one of them was that, isn't Drupal a Linux distribution? You know, I mean, isn't Drupal a city in Southeast Asia? People really don't know. But then there's this other thing where, hey, Drupal's open source, so it's free. Well, you know, yes, but no. And there's some of these challenges I think that the Drupal community needs to overcome. And it's been interesting to listen to the feedback today, because there are many people who came up and said, totally get it, I'm with you. Other people had little nitpicking things, and other people who were like, yeah, so what? But overall, the response was very good, and I'm really glad I got a chance to come here and talk to everyone. And I have a bit more greater confidence in using Drupal now in the future for the project that we're doing for our nonprofit.
And so, you know, with the larger trends of social media, you have people who are kind of declaring their identity online with different artifacts of Twitter messages or pictures or videos. And, you know, how do you see the larger trend of what people are doing and how they're connecting, you know, with your involvement in the social media club? What are the sort of larger trends that you see?
Well, the larger trends is that people are becoming more comfortable with sharing their lives. There's still a bit of reluctance out there in the broader community. There still are people who look at it as, well, those crazy kids are sharing all these tweets and whatever, and you know, and they still don't get the idea behind it, mostly because they haven't experienced it, and mostly because to them it's foreign. But it's worse than being foreign. It's those people do that, not me. So this self-referential identity is something else I was talking about, because the problem with the developer-designer argument even is related to this. It's a world of us and them. And as soon as we make them separate of us, we've made them the other. And when they become the other and they're not of us, it's very easy to demonize them and therefore be against them, be against what they stand for, as opposed to being willing to engage. One of the examples I gave today about this is, you know, going back to the 60s and the hippies. You know, I mean, the reality is they were right. We have to look after the environment. Love is the answer. We can all get along and find out ways to get along. We're going to be better off. But the way they did it, to radicalize it, to come up against the 50s U.S., you know, mentality of the button-down suits and apple pie and all that stuff, was so confrontational that the only response from the people they were trying to change would be one of defensiveness, would be one of resistance, would be one of fighting back. As opposed to the idea of being willing to be a part of that community too and work on changing it from the inside. I mean, one of the great things with the Government 2.0 movement is that the majority of the people really engaged using Web 2 and social media technologies for the government are evangelists on the inside. And they're willing to risk their jobs and their political capital that they've developed, and by that I mean their social capital rather than their political capital, to do the right thing instead of the easy thing. And they are working hard to understand what are the biases and challenges that people have when they're looking at these technologies and these crazy kids and what they're doing, and trying to bridge that gap. And I think that's really the key. We can find ways to reach our hand across the aisle and say, hello, brother, hello, sister, instead of F you.
I think one thing that happens with social media is that it's sometimes very easy to get kind of sucked in, and if you get, you know, working on something, it can be kind of a distraction to the very shiny internet when you should be doing other things. So I'm curious to see or hear your kind of perspective in terms of, like, you know, the Personal Democracy Forum. A lot of the things that they've been talking about over the years is that the online is not about just connecting people virtually, but it's about bringing people together face to face. And so it seems like the end goal to social media could be not to just sort of flood people with all this kind of information and overload them, but to kind of bring them together to actually meet face-to-face and do real things. So maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, I was fortunate to attend the first bar camp, and, you know, I'm sitting here today because of it. it was that in-person event where I made many friends. And, you know, I mean, look at the list of people who attended, and now they're all luminaries and stuff. It's crazy. But it was about being together in person where we were able to build trust. It was about being able to be there in person where we built friendship. It was about getting drunk and telling war stories and college stories and whatever else, right? So you can't replace online with coming together in person. And in fact, that was the key to Social Media Club's success, is that we let very organic growth pattern, but allowed people to start social media clubs in their area to bring people together physically. I'm going to switch gears out of that for a minute, same topic, but a personal experience that I've had with it is that in the past, I would go to events and conferences and meet people and have a stack of business cards and never really talk to them again or never really know them. But now, because of Twitter and Facebook and these things, I mean, just today I had like 55 new followers added. And I don't know them all, but there's probably five or six of them that I actually met and talked with and what have you. And as a result of meeting here in person and talking and then following on Twitter, these social tools allow us to remain connected. So that a year from now, when one of them's in San Francisco, they might drop me a note and say, hey, I'm here. And we'll end up meeting for coffee or drinks and catch up. And, you know, if we were following each other online regularly and staying in touch, we could feel like old friends and have that real trust and intimacy that everyone's really craving and that's missing so much in our isolated bedroom communities, especially, well, in America, I'm talking from a Western perspective. So the ability to connect people in the real world is at the core of what we're doing, the idea being that the social is what extends it. But it's the real world where it really matters to us.
And do you see that there is a dark side to social media in terms of people kind of like being susceptible to being addicted to information rather than to kind of getting out and meeting people face to face?
I'm sorry, let me check my Twitter stream. Yeah, you know, it is a real problem, which is why we need to bring consciousness to it. You know, all technology has this problem. There's a dark side to every piece of tech. So it's about being conscious of what that is and doing it. One of the things that's very important is to understand how the technology can separate us and understand that we need to seek out diverse perspectives. And one of the big concerns a lot of the community organizers, like real world facilitators and dialogue people and conflict resolution people, had when I first started talking with them years ago about social media was that people would only hear what they believe and continue to have that reinforced. And to an extent, that's true. And that's here, too. There's many people in the Drupal community who don't know people outside the community and don't hear those other voices. And the truth is that we have to actively seek out opposing viewpoints in order to be informed. And this is not normal. It's not easy. It's not natural. It's something that we have to change in ourselves to seek out that diverse perspective. And it's just like with any great technology or movement or anything that happens, you know, with great opportunity comes great responsibility.
And finally, where do you see this headed? I mean, we sort of have a lot of these tools available right now, but where do you see it, and especially in the context of Drupal or other open source content management systems that have these social tools, where do you sort of see the nirvana of social media?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why I got engaged and why we started the nonprofit, why I commit so much of my life to it without pay, is really because I see that the world is at a crossroads and that literally the survival of our species is at stake. And I see an opportunity from people being able to have voices and feel empowered through blogging and Twitter and podcasting and elsewhere, for people to be able to share their stories, to connect and find information and discover people of like mind and do these things. A chance for us to move beyond our stereotypes, to move beyond our conflicts, to see our common ground, and to connect with each other and to maybe avert some of those conflicts and to get us beyond it. So my hope is that social media will be a key pillar in the survival of our species, because it's what's going to allow us to connect and see that we're not all different, but that we are all indeed one.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.